we launch our very first series of our Name the Year, I think we need to lean into that first truth. It said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I think we have to lean into the truth of who is the Holy Spirit. Who is he? What's his role? What's his function? And what does it mean for our lives every day? And so for the next 6 to 8 weeks or so, we're going to lean into diving into the specifics about who is the person of the Holy Spirit. But in order to do that, we titled our series as we're going to lean into it over those 8 weeks, Ghosted. And some might be thinking, what does ghosted mean? How many in this place have ever been ghosted? If your hand's not up, I'm sorry, because I may have done it to you. I have a bad tendency, because I don't really like to text, of ghosting people. I think a conversation is over with a thumbs up. You know, get a little emoji, put it on there, I think that's over. And then they write back, and I'm like, well, we were already done with a thumbs up. And so if you're wondering what ghosting means, in terms of what many would see, and while there's a cell phone right there, it's when someone sent the message like, hey, how are you doing today? And a few hours go by, and a few days go by, and maybe a week go by, and then they're like, hello? Because you haven't responded. You've ghosted them. But in our moments, and in our times, most of us have either ghosted someone or been ghosted by someone. But in another way, I believe that when we talk about Christendom as a whole, I think we have a bad tendency and a bad propensity to ghost someone really important for our lives. And we have a bad tendency to ghost the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. If you were to look around in bookstores about Christian books, or even if you were to go to a regular bookstore, there's books that are talked about, and they're good books about the forgotten God. And who is the forgotten God all about? The Holy Spirit. When we talk about different traditions and denominations, the thing and the person that we actually dialogue and have differing opinions on is the person of the Holy Spirit. Many of us, whether it's because we can't fully wrap our heads around who he is, what he does, or because we have had a bad experience or from someone, not from him, but usually from some others, we've made it that we don't like to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. We get a little bit fearful of the person of the Holy Spirit. And I want to be reminded that in our text that we use for our whole theme of our year, it says the Spirit of we have been anointed by the Spirit to do his good work. Jesus in Acts 1:8 reminds us that we need to go and wait for the Holy Spirit to come so we can be his witnesses. So as we are going to see, the one that we often ghost is the one that we actually need to be his followers and to actually get onto mission. So hopefully over the next 8 weeks, we're going to break down some of the fear. We're going to dive into some of the truths. We're going to have a little bit of teaching time. We're going to dive into, well, who is the Holy Spirit? What's his role? What's his function? And what does that look like in our lives? We're going to talk about topics like tongues. What's that all about? Is it only a Pentecostal thing? So we're going to go on this journey over the next month or two. How many are okay to go there? So if we're going to start, though, with Jesus' scandalous words, where he said these words to his disciples, his closest friends, he said, it's good that I go. So if you wouldn't mind, if you're taking notes, the title of our message is this, when it's good to say goodbye. And we're going to look at two portions of scripture from John. John 16 and John 14, starting off at John 16, verse 5 to 7, and this is what Jesus says. But now I am going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I am going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you, or it is good for you, that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate, or the paraclete, won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. Jumping to John 14, verse 16 to 17, this is again what he says. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate or helper who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Jumping ahead in that same chapter to verse 26 and verse 27. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. As we're going to look along this journey this morning, we're going to realize that sometimes goodbyes are scary. How many have ever had one of those goodbyes? Maybe it was going to university, dropping your students off for university, or the first day of school. For some of us, that's still present. For some, you're like, I'm having to remember a long time ago. But that first day of school is a scary time, isn't it? You're walking them there, and now you're like, here, you need to stay. It's scary for the student, and it's scary for the parent. You're like, what if they're not nice? What if they forgot their lunch? What if friends aren't nice to them? You're going through all these thoughts. There's so many thoughts running through your heart and through your mind. Ever been there? Ever been sort of first day at work and you're like leaving for the day and you're like, goodbye. Maybe a spouse or a friend or a roommate says like, have a great day. And as you're driving out, you're like, what's it going to be like? I don't know what it's going to be. Now think for a second of what Jesus just said to his closest friends. Jesus has just shortly before asked them and said, follow me, drop everything you know. Give up your old lifestyle, give up your old jobs. You're going to get persecuted for me. Carry my cross. Come and follow me. And now they're like, yeah, we're in. They've seen and done great things. Things are going great. They've heard about the kingdom. They've heard about what it's supposed to look like. They've heard about the good news and how they're supposed to live it out. And now Jesus begins to say these words to them. Hey, guys, I'm leaving. And I can see Peter. He's like, I'm coming. And Jesus is like, well, you can't come with me on this journey. He's like, I'm coming. You told me to follow me. What's the truth here? And he's like, but you can't follow me where I'm going. You're going to follow me in my mission. You're going to follow me in what you've asked me to do. But you can't go with me at this time. Can you imagine the fear and all the different questions that would have been running through their mind? Many times when we read this, we forget to put ourselves in this. We forget to really think about the emotions, the thoughts. We're like, yeah, I'm sure they were just fine. No, they've given up everything to follow him, and now he's saying, I'm leaving, and he says, why are you grieving? And they're kind of like, but you're my rabbi, you're my everything, you're my teacher, you're my friend, you're my Lord, you're my Savior, you're all these things, you're the Messiah. Why wouldn't I grieve? And he says, well, it's good that I'm going. It's like, no, it's like when you drop your kids off. It's going to be good. Everything's going to be fine. It's good that I go. That first moment doesn't feel so good, does it? It's scary. That's what they're running through. In our lives, fear often keeps us from seeing the unknown, keeps us from walking into new adventures that are placed in front of us. In the same way, a fear of what God has given us, a fear of what God wants to do, a fear of the Holy Spirit will hold us back from walking into the fullness of what God has planned for your life. It's the truth. Fear of the unknown can cause us to ignore the very help that God is sending. When we get all worked up and we get scared of the Holy Spirit, of who he is, what he's going to do, what could that look like? We can miss some of the great things that God is actually sending to us. Because as we're going to unpack in a second, we saw that word advocate. We saw that word paraclete as we're going to break that down. He said, I'm sending another helper. I'm sending another one of my kind. I'm sending that person to come to walk alongside you, to be my spirit, to walk along with you, to be with you, to strengthen you, to comfort, to guide. But who did we say, especially in the church, we're the most fearful of? The Holy Spirit. Two ways to make, as a pastor, that two types of sermons that you know you're probably going to offend somebody. Not here. Never here. But offend somebody is if you talk about tithing and the Holy Spirit. Crazy, I did both of them today. Who would have thought? But if you talk about money and you talk about the Holy Spirit, your Monday inbox is usually full. Because somebody gets worked up because they're like, we shouldn't talk about the Holy Spirit because we don't fully understand him. And here's the crazy truth. We never will. In this moment, you will never fully understand all that he is doing, all that he is working, because he is fully God as we're going to unpack. In those moments when we avoid him, we miss what he wants to do. So today, no matter what your background is, no matter what your tradition, one more time. The Pharisees wanted to know the Father, but didn't want to get to know the Son. In the biblical day, the religious leaders, the Pharisees of the day, they didn't have a problem really with the Father. They had a problem with Jesus, and they put him on a cross. Many of us want to be like Jesus. We want to live like him. We want to be his apprentices. We want to abide with him. We want to be his disciples, his sent ones. We want to bring his good news, but many of us want to do it without getting to know the Spirit. Jesus told the ones closest to him that spent the most time with him, they said, you can't do it without help. You need the Holy Spirit. So go and wait until the Spirit comes and enables you for mission to be his witnesses. So if those closest to him needed this good news, I think we do too. Don't you agree, church? So let's unpack a little bit why leaving can be a good thing, our second truth this morning. For many, that seems like an oxymoron. But leaving can be a good thing. Jesus sort of applied these truths to the disciples and applied this truth to us as well. We realize this, that Jesus knew and expressed the important truth that we need help to understand and to carry out the mission. Even Jesus, we see his public ministry launches after what point? He's baptized and the Holy Spirit comes upon him. Then we see the mission and the ministry take off. If Jesus needed, if he told the disciples needed, so do we. You and I need help to live in this world like Jesus Christ. You and I need help and comfort and guidance and an advocate on our behalf to help us do the mission that Christ has placed for your life. One of our key values for our church is we believe that everybody deserves hope found in the person of Jesus. We believe that all of us have a place to belong and call home in the family of God. And we believe that every person from the youngest to the oldest in the place, no matter what has been said about your life, has a purpose. But we can't fulfill the fullness of that purpose, the full kingdom potential of that purpose, without the person of the Holy Spirit, because you and I need a little bit of help. But the good news is Jesus literally says this, don't worry, guys. Don't panic. Don't be afraid. Don't be terrified or dismayed on the inside, because I am sending you another helper. I'm not leaving you alone. Jesus said his leaving was good, not because he stopped helping, but because he sent another helper or another paraclete. Jesus didn't leave us without help. He sent us help that could be with everyone, everywhere. So we have to go back to thinking about who Jesus was. He was fully God, but yet he was fully man, working and probably working on some wood and hit his finger. It hurt. We know that he bled. We know that he bruised. So the key question is, could Jesus, in what he did, could he be in every city at the same time? No. He had physical limitations upon his life. So if we all wanted to go and ask Jesus a question, because they're like, I didn't understand your teaching, we would have to get in line and the lines would be longer than Costco. We'd be getting the sticker and the tape and saying, like, what number are you? Well, I'm like number 4,000,003. I'm saving up all my questions. Because there was physical limitations that he placed upon himself. And so in this moment, he's saying it's good because I'm sending you another helper. And this helper that I am sending, the helper that the Father is sending, is not having those same limitations. The help that you are about to have can be with everyone, everywhere. And I think that is good news. So as we unpack this a little bit, we want to unpack the word. Most times when we're reading this, we skip over the word another. But that would be a mistake. Actually, one of the most important words in this whole passage of Scripture, a text, is that word another. Because if we read this wrong, we have a wrong view of who the Holy Spirit is. So as we read this another helper, another paraclete, we have to lean into what this Greek word meant. The Greek word for another is allon, or allos, if you're taking the root word, where it came from. By Jesus using this word, he made it clear to the hearers of the day and to us as well that the Holy Spirit is not lesser or different, but actually is of the same divine nature and character, but distinct in person. He's carrying on Christ's mission beyond physical limits. So when you would see in our basic understanding, without making it confusing, sometimes when we would go to the root word of the Greek, and don't worry, I'm not unpacking it too much, but if we went to the Greek word of the Greek and we were in allos, many times we would see the opposite side of that as heteros. And not in the way that we would view it in sexuality, but what he was saying is, allos or allon is of the same kind, not of a different kind. So when he said, I'm sending you another, what he's saying is, I'm sending you one of the same kind. So when he comes, just like I am God, just like I am the one that you're looking, I am God's son, I'm sending you one that has the same divine nature and character, but will be distinct in person. So it wasn't saying like, I'm leaving you and I'm taking Nike, but I'm leaving Mikey. Okay? He didn't say, I'm taking myself and giving you a cheap counterfeit. He's saying, no, the helper that I'm sending you, the paraclete that I'm sending you is not lesser. This is not second class. That's why he said, it's good that I go. The one who is coming, the promised gift that is coming, is of the same kind. You're not losing out on this equation. Instead, this is good news, because now, where I was held to physical limitations, and I was held because of that, because I was fully man, he is not held to those same. He is distinct in person. And so for us and for the hearer of the day, they couldn't fully wrap their head around it, because this is a foreign concept. Just like for us, it's really hard to get our head wrapped around this truth. But just because we have a hard time understanding an infinite God with finite mind doesn't mean that it's not true, and doesn't mean that it's not needed, and doesn't mean that we should be scared. Instead, we become people of faith and people of trust. So as we continue to move on, it said the Holy Spirit being allos is how he can reveal the fullness of Christ and his teachings and his mission to us, and how we can in turn fulfill the Great Commission. Have you ever sort of forgot about a teaching? Never after Sunday. Like, I'm sure you guys keep this and you're like, I could tell you, Pastor, all your points, and next Sunday you would know it all, right? Thank you. I really feel appreciated there. But it's true. Sometimes when I get up here and I'm doing the recap, all of a sudden my brain goes numb and I'm like, I don't remember what I preached last week. And so as we're going back to do it in those moments, it's like when you unpack a wisdom of Scripture and you're like, I got to stand on this truth. And you're like forgetting, and someone asks you the question, and you're like, I don't know what to do. Ever all have had that moment where the Holy Spirit reminded you? So the word that you've hidden in his heart would not come back void, and all of a sudden he brings it back to recollection. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the other helper. That's another helper of the same kind. He's revealing, he's reminding, he's actually empowering, he's allowing us to fulfill the mission of the Great Commission. You and I can't do it in our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit. That's why it's good news. So let's continue on. We learned about the word another. Now let's go to the word helper. And this is actually a crude definition of the word advocate. We see in the Greek word, it was paraclete or parakletos. And what happens is, when we look at this, it means one who comes alongside. So one of the same, another, one of the same kind is going to come alongside you and be with you everywhere at all times. And as this says, one, a word impossible to translate fully into one word, as it speaks to comforter, advocate, helper, guide, teacher, counselor, and legal representative. So when we say helper, as we're going to look over these coming weeks and sort of unpack each one of those a little bit more, it isn't a full definition of, well, he's sending another helper. He's sending the paraclete, who is going to do all of those things. That's all a part of his role. But how do we translate that? And we're like, let's just call him a helper. Let's call him a personal coach. Let's call him an advocate. Because his job, his role, his function is to carry out the mission of the Father and of Christ in the fullness through our lives and to walk with us, to provide us the unction so that we can function in all that he's called us to do. And again, it's good news. But let's unpack that word. I told you it was more of a teaching today. When we take parakleto or paraclete, it comes from two root words, para or para, which means near or alongside. It implies to be close or an intimate presence or relationship. So what it's saying in the first part is, the one who is coming alongside you, the one who is coming along near, he's not at a far going, oh, I wish I didn't have this role. Instead, he's like, oh, I want to be in relationship with you. I want to be close with you. Where you are, I am. When you're going through what seems like hell, I'm right there. When you're on the mountaintop, I'm right there. I want to be, another Greek word, in koinonia. I want to be in close proximity. I want to be in intimate relationship with you. So that first part of saying another one, another who's drawn close to you, pulled close, is alongside. Now we go to kelio, to call or to summon or to invite. Together it describes one who is called to come alongside and remain present to help. And many times if it was used in biblical day, it spoke of a person's permanent calling. So let's put it together. We've got another. So we've got alon, alos. We've got one of the same kind, not lesser, same divine nature, same divine character, distinct in person, who is now coming alongside, but he's not just coming alongside. That's his calling and his permanent calling, that when you go, he will be with you. What was Jesus' promise to us? I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Holy Spirit is the answer, is the good news to that problem. Right now, the God-man, He is sitting at the right hand of the Father, but the Spirit is dwelling with us, going with us, walking alongside us. It is his permanent calling to guide, to direct, to advocate, to comfort, to empower. Where you go left, he goes left. You can't shake or bake him. Okay, when I was coaching, you said, watch the hips because everything else will lie. And in those moments, you can't say, I'm going this way or that way. He said, I am with you. I am with you to the end of the age. I am with you always. That is the promise that we can stand on. So today, if you feel alone, let me tell you this truth. You are not. If you know Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you. It's his permanent calling to guide, to direct, to convict, to reveal, to empower. And it's good news. You and I have a personal coach. And it costs Christ everything. It's like going to the gym and you don't know how to use all the equipment. You're like, I want to get in shape. And you know, you're trying to, you see all those things on memes on the internet, and somebody's like putting their legs on like the pull downs and all those things. Many of us live our lives that same way. We're like, I don't know how to use all this equipment. You and I have a personal coach who is permanently called alongside of you to coach, to guide, to comfort. That's why he said we need to go and wait. Because if you and I want to truly be his witnesses to the ends of the earth, we need the Holy Spirit. We can't do this alone. That's why I'm leaning into this truth that sometimes leaving is a good thing. So let's go to our final truth today. Final truth this morning is, it's good for you. How many have ever heard those words? As a kid, I heard them all the time. Mom and dad, they're ministering somewhere else, so they're not here, so I can pick on them. But I remember there's certain foods I didn't like, and they're like, it's good for you, just eat it. You know, it was like medicine, different things. We had the rule, if it's on your plate, you eat it. And then there was different things, it'd be like medicine, and they're like, it tastes terrible, it's good for you, just take it. So when we think of those things, Jesus saying it's good for you, you're saying like, oh, is it going to hurt? Everything, all of this is going to hurt? No. There's going to be times where, yes, life is going to be hard. He gave us that truth. He said there's going to be trials, there's going to be tribulations. But he says, oh, have hope, have faith. Why? Because he's overcome, and the one who's in us has overcome. So we have hope today. We have good news today. That no matter the chaos, no matter the heartache, no matter what we're walking through, all those things of the good news, of where our theme verse for the year, of why the Spirit has come upon us and anointed us to bring the good news. This is a part of the good news. These are three things that we're going to say are good news that is true for you and true for me even today. Because what we were talking about was a scripture that was spoken to the disciples. It was spoken to them, and those truths can be applied to us. But this is a truth that faithfully we can unpack today, and we can say these three things is good news for us today, and we're going to unpack it more over the coming weeks. But the first thing that we can say, it is good for me. It is good news for me. It is good that you go is, first one, you're never alone. The Holy Spirit, as we said, is the answer to Jesus' promise to never leave us or never forsake us. Holy Spirit, this is great news, especially if you've ever got ghosted by me. The Holy Spirit will never ghost you. He's never going to ghost you. He's with you. He's always accessible. You're never alone. Even if you feel like you are, he is there. You can cry out. He can minister your heart. He can give you direction. He can give you encouragement. He can build you up and edify you. That's the promise that we have. Number two, we can know Jesus better. How many would like to understand the scriptures a little bit better? How many open them up and sometimes say, I don't get it? There's times, even as a pastor, we talk about this joke around staff time. There's certain parts of the Bible where we're like, I still don't get it. As you still unpack things, because there's things that we will not fully know. There's things that are always going to be there that God has left as mysteries. But if we want to know his teachings more, or the things, if you're forgetful, we have this truth that it literally says, we can see in Matthew 14, 26, Ephesians 1, 17 to 23, 1 Corinthians 2, 4 through 5, 7 to 10, and 10 to 13. All of those are reminding us, alongside of the text that we read today, if you read them in full, that one of the Holy Spirit's roles and functions is to remind you of all the truth of Christ, remind you of his teachings. So when we start to get confused and we start to get forgetful, we need the Holy Spirit, because one of his roles is to remind us of the truth. I once heard a person who was like an atheist person, and they were, one of their big debate topics was, how can we trust the Bible? Because he said a few statements and he rambled off two sentences, and he says, can you repeat that back to me? And the person says, well, no, I forget. And they said, well, if that's the truth and you can't remember two sentences, how could all the writers and the scribes of the original scriptures, how could they remember? And the person who was dialoguing back with them said, pulled up actually our text from today. And he says, yes, in our own natural abilities, no, we couldn't remember. But you're not taking into account where we actually have this truth, that it's not about if I can do it, it's about the Holy Spirit dwelling within me. Because we were never called to live our lives alone. We were called to live our lives in the full functioning of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit reminds. The Spirit brings understanding. So if you want to know Christ better, if you want to know Jesus better, you need to know the Holy Spirit. Because he's the revealer of Christ. Everything about the Holy Spirit is pointing us to the understanding of who Jesus is. When it starts to pull people away from Jesus, then we have to start saying, might be trouble there, because it's revealing and shining a light on the person of Jesus Christ. We see that throughout. So today, if you're like, I want to know, I need to understand this a little bit better, say, Holy Spirit, help me to see. Help me to see the truths of the scripture. Help it to come alive. Let the eyes of my heart come awake, as Paul would say in Ephesians. Let the eyes of my heart and my mind come awake to the glorious inheritance and the riches that I have in Christ Jesus. Last but not least, we have access to the one who gives us the power needed to go. Holy Spirit is the unction so that we can function in the calling that we've had. Ever get really, you know, dissatisfied a little bit with your walk? Maybe it's just me. Sometimes I'm like, God, why don't I see the things like I read about? Why is it not happening in my life? And there's sometimes more to it, but I had a good friend who's a pastor. We're good, good friends, different fellowships. And we actually did some joint stuff where we used to live. His wife was going through a sickness, and we did a joint prayer thing. It was across all the churches, and we partnered together, and they laughed. They said we were like a punchline for a joke. It's like when the Pentecostal and this denomination walk into the room, because they were the two unlikeliest of friends. And when his wife was going through a situation, he said, "Can you guys pray?" And I said his name, and I said, "Why are you asking us?" Because he said, "You guys have feelings." And it led us onto a conversation, and there was a dynamic move and touch that happened on her life. And as we dialogued, I said, "Well, why didn't you pray?" And he says, "Well, I kind of believe," but he says, "we never see it happen." And he says, "I started to be convicted that," he says, "I don't want anything, our church didn't really want anything to do with the Holy Spirit." He said, "So we knew and we liked the fruit, but we kind of said, hey, those gifts don't happen anymore." So he said, "We never prayed for them." So he said, "We never saw them." And I remember a wise man, one of the people that I think is the wisest guys, my grandfather. And one of his last words before he passed, actually probably was like Sunday before, Jen and I would take him out, drive him from the valley, we'd take him back to the Walford, and we'd take him out, and one of the last words he said, he says, "Curtis, never, never be afraid of the altar." He says, "Never forget that God still moves, that His Spirit still moves, that He guides, He leads, He directs, He grows fruit in us, but He is a God who is a God of power, that He can heal, that He can deliver, that He can set free." He said, "Our job is to pray and believe that He can. His job is the rest." And in that journey, I remember sharing that with a pastor friend of mine. And over the next few years in their fellowship, in their local little small church, they started to do teachings on the Holy Spirit. He's like, "I'm either going to lose my job or it's going to go great." And he did teachings on the Holy Spirit and walked alongside their leadership. And wasn't it interesting? They saw an increase in salvations. They saw an increase and moving of the Holy Spirit. They saw people getting set free, healed, delivered, and an increase for mission. Because the power of God in our lives, on our lives, around our lives, and through our lives is all for His mission, all for His glory. It's not to puff us up or build us up. It's that we go on mission, that we would finish and complete what He started in us and what He's commissioned us to do. So today, let's be reminded as we get ready to end that you're never alone. That if we want to know Jesus better, let's not be afraid of the Holy Spirit, but say, "Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place." And then finally, we'll be reminded that if we want to have the strength and the power, the unction to function in the fullness of the call that God's placed on our lives, we need to actually say, "Holy Spirit, I need you." Because the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus so that He would function. The Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in the early church, and we saw the result. Imagine what would happen if we would be people that lean in a healthy and whole way and say, "Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Move in my life, through my life, and around my life for your glory." Church, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to see what God is going to do in us, through us, and around us this year for His glory. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me? This morning we're going to pray, but as we said, one of the things we wanted to do this year was provide opportunities, even if we didn't do a formal altar call, was to provide opportunities each week for personal prayer. For some, it might be for salvation. For some, it might just be, "I'm just having a rough week, and I just need someone to come alongside to know that I'm not alone." And so what we're going to do is, after we close, if you would like prayer, we're going to have some of our ministry team and myself. We're just going to pray for you over on the left-hand side, or my left-hand side of the stage, because we believe that prayer is important and prayer works. Amen? We believe that God still moves. We're believing that lives are going to be set free, changed. Deliverance is going to happen because our God has not changed. Oh, he's still a good God. But let's pray, church. Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, we thank you today that you are such a good and gracious God. Lord, we're sorry for the times where we've ghosted you, where we've run away from that which we don't know, where we spoke illy, or we've been fearful of the person of the Holy Spirit, a divine part of the triune God, the Godhead. But today we say we're unpacking that truth of who you are, that we can understand that Jesus' words, that it's good that he went so that we could walk in the fullness of the gift of the Spirit. So Lord, let it be said of us from the youngest to the oldest in this place that even though we may not fully understand, that we want to have hearts that are open to the moving of the Spirit. We want to be led, directed, and guided by your Spirit. Spirit, grow good fruit in our lives. Let fruit that would last and fruit that would remain begin to grow in each and every heart in this place. That we would carry the fruit of the Spirit in everything we do in this place and outside of these doors. That we would carriers of peace, love, joy, patience, gentleness. Lord, that we would carry those things, but Lord, let us not stop there. Let us remember that we're called to be people of the Spirit that display you in the fullness of your power and of your grace. We know we can't fully be your witnesses on mission to the full potential without you walking in us and through us. So Holy Spirit, we say as a church, you are welcome here. Move in this place, move in our lives. Reveal who you are. Guide us, direct us, comfort us, empower us for the mission of the kingdom. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Be with us as we go today. We ask all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And we said together, church, amen and amen. Be blessed and have an amazing week.